Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Sherlock's Team podcast with me, Charlotte Collins. This week, I'm joined by Laura Black and Tor Cardona. Hi, guys.
Hiya.
Hi. How you doing?
Good, thanks. Good. Ready for a new week, I think.
Good. I think it's quite nice, the new month falling on the Monday.
Definitely. Do you know what? I was feeling like I was getting a bit of a cold, and I woke up this morning feeling a bit sorry for myself, and then I was like, nope, it's March. The sun is shining. Come on, get up. Let's go for this.
The clock's changed, there's some restrictions being lifted, bit of light at the end of the tunnel today. I decided to kickstart the month tour by doing the Barry's workout, which has gone live on the Sherlock's Instagram this morning. We're doing a collaboration with Barry's every Monday in March for a 20-minute HIIT session. Tor, I forgot how, well, when I say I forgot, I didn't used to be this unfit. I wasn't before the pandemic hit, but wow, it was really hard, but in such a good way. It's so good to just have a sweat at the beginning of the day, isn't it?
And also, when I first saw it, I was like, oh, it's only 20 minutes, it's such a shame. But honestly, like, it packs in a lot of activity. Yeah. Like, it feels like 40.
I thought he made it look deceivingly easy.
Oh, yeah, always. I mean, it was unfair.
But he was dying. He was. By the end, he, like, couldn't speak.
But no, but I love that he was doing it and getting so into it. I just thought it was great. It's such good energy.
Yeah. And actually, as I was doing it, I was like, I hate this so much, but I should do this every day because it's actually so easy to fit in 20 minutes, isn't it? So, so cool that we're doing it with them.
So for those of you who are listening and worried you missed it, the workout is now live on the IGTV permanently, so everyone can pick it up, and it wasn't like it was a live thing that's now been and gone.
You can do it anytime, 20-minute lunch break, super easy. And yeah, as we said, once a week, in March. So I think, I don't know about you guys, but I've got some fitness to regain and some weight to lose before we re-enter the normal world. So March, I think, is a good time for that. What's everyone up to? Laura, you've only got, by the time this podcast goes live, you'll have one more day of homeschooling.
Oh my God, I just, there are no words. I just can't freaking wait until next Monday. And actually, I had an email today that's saying that one of my daughters, for some reason or other, all her Zoom lessons are not happening today. And the sense of relief was just like, I mean, sod the education. I'm like, thank God I don't have to juggle that for a day. We're nearly there.
Yeah. Exactly. What has everybody been watching, listening to? Has anyone got any new recommendations at all?
So I probably think I'm very late to the party, but I need to talk about This Is Us. So it's been going for a long time. I think it's got 5 series now. It's on Amazon Prime. They call it a drama comedy. And this is no spoilers. In the first episode, Mandy Moore is the mum and she's pregnant with triplets and she goes into labour and she has 2 of them, but one of them really sadly dies. And on that same day, someone leaves, I mean, the most adorable little baby outside a fire station. Someone takes it to the hospital. Anyway, they end up adopting this son as their third baby. The 5 series is essentially the relationships between them and kind of through the generations, and it kind of flicks between time, and it's just amazing.
So all my friends love it. And I might have said this in the context of this before, but for me, I know it's a massive weepy, right? Like, all anyone ever says about This Is Us is that they cry so much in every episode. And I just can't put myself through that. Like, I can't sit down to watch something that I know is going to make me sob.
Oh, I haven't cried yet, actually.
You're the only person I've ever heard say that.
It's very emotional, though. Like, it's very emotional. It's such a good drama, but, like, every episode is just so different.
Tor, do you get enough from, like, season one? When I hear that something's got 5 seasons, it kind of puts me off a bit. So I'm like, okay, right, I'm really going in here. You want to keep going?
I'm only on episode 13 of season one. I think I've got about, like, 5 or 6 more. But no, I can't imagine, like, you'd have to stick with the 5 series. Like, there's a lot going on, a lot of stuff.
Okay. I'm late to the party, I know, so I won't dwell on it, but I just finished watching It's a Sin. And I kind of loved, because I'm always so late watching things when everyone else watched it, I love that I could just do it in 5 hours and it was all over and I could join in with the conversation. Like, okay, I'm here, I'm ready.
Tor, I've always thought This Is Us is in, like, the Grey's Anatomy camp, which obviously you're a massive fan of as well. Is it a similar vibe?
similar vibe. And you know what it is as well? It's the music, that kind of like just a really good soundtrack, really intense kind of drama-y things happen every episode. Yeah, it is a bit like Grey's Anatomy, actually, minus the hospital setting. Also, I've been watching White House Farm. Has anyone seen that?
Oh, no, what is that?
Oh, it's really good. It's a true story. And actually, I was talking to my mum and she was like, oh, yeah, I remember that being in the news. It happened like back in the 80s, early 80s, in Essex, a massive kind of like family home. And the parents and their daughter and her two sons are found dead in this farm. I think it was originally on ITV and now it's on Netflix. It's like five or six parts, basically. And it kind of just, yeah, goes through the crime. I was going to Google it to find out some more information to tell you, but I'm too scared to Google it because I know it's going to tell me what the outcome is. So
it's true crime. It's a documentary.
True crime documentary. Yeah.
Is it juicy?
Yeah, it's really good. Really recommend.
Okay. Tor, I started Crime Scene, The Vanishing at the Cecil Hotel, which is another true crime
story. And what did you think?
On Netflix. Well, so I watched the first two episodes. So for those who don't know, it's about a hotel in downtown LA on Skid Row, which is like one of the dodgiest areas basically in the whole of the Western world and the whole of North America. It's about a young girl from Canada who went travelling by herself, stayed at the hotel and subsequently went missing. And it's an investigation into her disappearance and also the kind of crazy goings on at this hotel, where basically there were murders after murders, deaths after deaths, and all kinds of crazy stories. But it almost freaked me out too much. It's so real and so like chilling. Basically, the whole investigation into this girl's death is anchored on some footage of her in a lift, and she's behaving so strangely. It's this 4-minute video clip that basically at the time went viral. It's like she's been possessed by a demon or something. It's all so weird. But also my biggest thing with that is that Ben annoyingly Googled it, but found that there was no conclusion. You didn't find out at the end. I know who did it. So therefore I actually just didn't bother finishing it because if I'm watching that kind of thing, I need to find out at the end what actually happened.
Yeah, totally agree.
So sorry for the spoiler alert on the Cecil Hotel, but it's again not really a huge spoiler because you could just find out.
I watched the first kind of like half an hour and perhaps I wasn't in the mood. I couldn't get into it. I think my problem with Netflix is that when it gives you that little like preview at the beginning and you think, oh my god, this is so good, and suddenly you realize that was the whole series and actually those were all the good bits and actually the series is crap.
I feel like movie trailers do that more and more these days as well, where literally you watch the trailer and be like, right, well, I've seen the film now. So
I know.
That's that. Anything new to recommend, Laura?
I haven't been watching anything, but I have been listening to a podcast with Mo Gaudat, who I think I've spoken about before on here. I first listened to him on Elizabeth Day, but he works for Google X, I think it is.
Isn't he like their chief of happiness or something?
Yeah. So he lost his son when his son was 21. He basically then turned to trying to find happiness again. And I just absolutely love the man. But he's launched a podcast called Slow Mo, which I've only just found out. And it's been going on a while, so I've got loads to catch up on. But he speaks to amazing people, therapists, monks. It could be about juggling things as a mom. It could be a managerial skill at work. It could be dealing with grief. Whenever I'm feeling a bit flat and feel like I need to shake it off, I go for a walk with him in my ears, and I always come back feeling much more measured and okay, right, I can, you know, do this. I feel like he gives me tools for everyday life. So I highly recommend it. It's called Slow Mo.
I listen to so many like wellnessy podcasts, and it's so rare to find someone who's got like a unique voice. And when I find that, I'm like, oh my God, this is absolutely amazing. Cause so many of them do sound the same. They're saying the same things, and it's just a bit kind of like a bit non, but that sounds really good, Laura, like a bit different.
The one I listened to yesterday, he was speaking to a monk and he was asking him about how he's handled, you know, lockdown and the coronavirus. And he was like, you know, the thing is with lockdown, it's all in the marketing. You know, they've got the marketing wrong for it. If somebody came and told you that to the busy, overtired population that they could have how many months being at home, slowing down, watching a bit more, reading a few more books, you know, people would approach it with a different attitude. And I thought, God, that is so true. You know, we all go like, oh, lockdown, we're shut in our houses, we can't do anything. We're always looking at what we can't have rather than actually, God, how nice to be able to have a little bit more time.
I don't know about you guys, but I'm feeling a bit like, now I know it's going to end, I'm feeling a bit like, oh, I quite like it. I quite like it. I don't know, I'm quite happy at home. Like, obviously there are certain things I'd love back, but I don't think I want my whole old life back.
No, you know, yes, the light is at the end of the tunnel, but like, I feel like I'm in a very negative mindset at the moment. I don't want to dwell on this, but like, we've had to postpone our wedding for a third time. And after a year of disappointment, I really don't think that on the 21st of June, things are not just going to like buzz back to normal.
No.
You know, if you want a weekend at home, you know, you can have a weekend at home. Things aren't just going to like go from 0 to 100. I don't think.
I'm sure you're right. And also, anyway, June is still 4 months away. There's been a lot of excitement over
June. Exactly.
Quite a while away. Well, I've got something else to recommend for the time that we remain in lockdown. This is the new Billie Eilish documentary. It's called Billie Eilish, The World's a Little Blurry, and it's on Apple TV. Apparently there was a massive bidding war. I think she did rather well out of this documentary. It basically follows the story of Billie Eilish. I mean, I assume everybody knows who she is. And it's kind of her rise to fame from a certain point. It's basically the production and the release of her first album and kind of, yeah, how she grew over that year. So from the point at which she's kind of gigging and she's got this quite hardcore set of fans, but she's got like a million Instagram followers, through to her Coachella performance and writing the theme tune for James Bond. So that kind of really, you know, intense rise, I guess, to fame. I'm not a huge Billie Eilish fan. I kind of know her mainstream songs and that's about it. But I love a celebrity fly on the wall documentary, and we've been treated to quite a few from huge superstars, I guess, haven't we, over the last few years. Like Taylor Swift one in particular comes to mind. And this was easily the best I've seen. It's quite obvious from the documentary that she micromanages every single little bit of her public persona. So I'm sure that was also the case with this documentary, but it feels incredibly raw, incredibly vulnerable, and really honest. It doesn't feel like a kind of PR activity in the way that I think Taylor Swift did, even though I loved it. And she's unbelievably talented. Like, her and her brother Phineas write all their music together. He's her producer. And there's something so special about watching two really young people, she's 17 over the course of this year, sit down in their bedroom and just create absolute magic. There are meetings with production agencies and with record labels, like on their bed where they're playing them songs, and it's such a family operation. Her parents are above and beyond the best celebrity parents I've ever seen in any documentary. I mean, I'll reference the Britney Spears one in a second, but we know that often parents of young megastars can have ulterior motives or their own motivations, and her parents just seem like really adoring, supportive, incredible people who are kind of there with her every step of the way. She suffers from depression and anxiety. I think that's pretty obvious through her music. All of this to say, basically, I just think she's the most incredible role model. She is so honest. It's not about her looks, her appearance, putting on an act, putting on a front. It's all about being like, hey, I'm a teenager. Being a teenager is tough. This is what I'm going through. And here's that for you to digest. And I just thought it was incredible. I'm obviously not at that stage of life, but it was just so refreshing to see somebody young like that put out such a different message, and one that feels really relevant to this time as well, I guess. The darker side of it is, for those who've watched the Britney documentary, you can see that nothing's really changed. We watch that Britney doc and think, oh my God, this is insane. Like, the things that young girl was put through. And there are glimpses of that. We're talking 15, 20 years later for Billie Eilish. Like, obviously less so, as I say, she's really well protected by her parents. There's less footage anyway of her being hounded by paparazzi. I don't know if that happens to her to that same extent, but it does make you wonder what that level of fame can do to somebody so young. I mean, she is a megastar. It's Justin Bieber, One Direction levels of fandom that you see.
Yeah, she was on the front of Vogue, wasn't she?
Yeah, she was. And at the time, I
remember being like, you were like, this is really cool. And I remember being like, really? Is it?
No, I think I was really critical of it. Like, as in, I think it's cool that she was on the cover. And I think it's really cool that somebody can be that famous and be that successful just from kind of having these raw materials at home. And, you know, and just pure talent, right? She's not some kind of manufactured tweeny bopper thing. But yeah, I was like, this isn't fashion. I mean, I still kind of think that. I still kind of think she's not really a fashion icon. But I just think it's really cool that there's a role model out there for young girls who don't all want to look like Ariana Grande.
I so agree.
I just want to recommend a podcast as well, really quickly, called The Food Chain. This is not new, but it's new to me. It's available only on BBC Sounds. It's part of the BBC World Service. And it's basically a documentary series about a million different things relating to food. My favourite of which is a regular series within this podcast where they ask five chefs or significant players in the food industry. It's kind of like Desert Island Discs, but for food. So I listened yesterday to Otto Lengi and to Nigella Lawson talk about the five dishes that have defined their lives. But also, you know, much like with Desert Island Discs, they kind of talk through their lives, but it's all kind of food related. So that was real heaven. I also listened to a crazy one called The Arctic Eating Adventure, which was an interview with a family in which the mother is a documentary maker. They live in really, really rural Canada, and she's basically put them through some kind of crazy life experiments in order to create documentaries about them, one of which was she banned her entire family for a full year from eating any produce that wasn't grown within a 250-kilometre radius of their property. I mean, that's everything. That's milk, sugar, salt. I mean, literally everything. And she talks about how they did it and the effects of it on their family.
That's quite a big radius.
They were forced into. I think it would be in certain places, but they live in really northern, cold country Canada. So, like, salt, for example, wasn't available. Sugar wasn't available. They had to get really creative with plants, trees, extracting things, tapping things. I mean, it's really extreme. Tor, I think you'd be all over this. So there is a documentary. It's called First We Eat. Her name is Dr. Suzanne Crocker. And the name of the podcast is The Food Chain. And as I say, there's a whole load of different foodie topics. Speaking of food, I am looking for some fresh foodie inspo. Well, I had a bit of a cooking break. We had some birthdays in this household. So now I feel very ready to get back on the cooking train.
Can we talk about your birthday for a minute?
We can.
How was it, Charlotte? Big 3-0.
Thank you. I think because I had like the lowest expectations ever, I had a really lovely day in the end. People kept saying to me before, are you excited? And I was like, what could I possibly be excited about? Like, we're not doing anything. I think in real life, you know, for a big birthday, people would like send you a message and then you'd have a dinner or whatever, or a party. So people would like bring your gift. That's kind of it. Do you know what I mean? But because of lockdown, I think people make so much more effort. I was just floored by how lovely everybody was. Like, my house was literally like a bakery florist for days.
Yeah, you had
it was
some just pretty so indulgent goodies, didn't you?
Oh my god, I can't even talk about it. We've had to purge the house this weekend, and because Ben's birthday is so close to mine, the house had felt very overwhelmed with birthday things. There's been a lot of balloons floating around this house for a while. It felt really good this weekend to actually get rid of all the cake and all the balloons and feel a little bit back to normal. But yeah, I felt very spoiled and very loved, which I guess is all you can ask for.
Yeah, exactly. Honestly, I think turning 30 was like the best time ever, and B, lockdown birthdays are the best. As you say, everyone just doubles the effort, and actually they
totally
are so fun.
I think surprised. Yeah.
Let's keep that going forward, please.
Yeah, so true. But yeah, I've been very excited for the age, actually, more so than the birthday. So yeah, I feel
30s are fun.
Yeah,
exactly.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Anyway, as I was saying, cooking's taken a lull, but I'm back on the cooking train, and I wanted to know if you guys have been cooking anything good recently. Laura?
I love Asian food, so I do a lot with noodles and, you know, rice. I make a lot of soupy noodles, and I'm big into, I think, on one of the things I love on Instagram, I did a Blue Dragon ramen kit, which is amazing. But since then, the best thing for ramen is those miso sachets.
Oh, 100%.
Oh my God, I just can't get enough of them. I just drink them. Just put some noodles and veg in, and it's like instant food and so delicious.
I've got the clear spring ones, I think, and they're turmeric and ginger at the moment, and they're so good.
Ooh, okay, yeah, I'll
really
try
nice.
Those.
Yeah, exactly.
I think my ones are the Itsu ones at the moment. Mm. So we eat a lot of that. The other thing that we've eaten quite a bit of is getting those little pots of fresh crab from the supermarket and making crab linguine. It's a bit more indulgent, but nice thing to look forward to towards the end of the week. This weekend, actually, we didn't cook. I'm at the moment bubbling with my mum. She's on her own. And the caterers we had for our wedding are based around the corner, and they're doing those takeaway boxes where you cook it at home. And God, it was so nice to eat something different that wasn't, as I said, one of my regulars. So we had like fish tacos and steak and like, but you can't get loads of takeaways where we are, so it was really nice to have something.
And how nice, it was your wedding caterer, that's so lovely.
Yeah, it was really nice, and also really nice to lay the table properly, have a proper drink. You know, I feel like the longer lockdown's gone on, the more lazy we've become at that side of things, so yeah, it was really nice.
It's nice to be able to mix it up, isn't it? Tor, what about you?
I mean, I feel like all I do is cook at the moment, and I'm absolutely loving it. I don't want to lose that when we go back to normal life. Like, I mean, I know we will, but at the same time, I'm dying to eat out at a restaurant. Like,
is that the thing you really miss?
Honestly, and especially on Saturday when that weather was so good, I was like, all I want to do now. I mean, yes, I would have eaten, but I would have happily just sat in a pub garden all Saturday and drunk lots of rosé.
Oh my god.
Oh my god, it was so nice. Yeah. It was
actually sit in the garden and drink rosé on Saturday.
Did you?
Oh, I'm so jealous.
No,
no.
Dream.
Definitely not. Oh,
heaven.
So it's no secret that I love the One Tray series books. But I
how did I know this would come up?
But I'm actually not going to talk about that. So, you know, you didn't think what I was going to say.
No, I was wrong.
I've really been trying to go back through my cookbooks because I feel like I've got so many lovely books, and when I want a recipe, I just Google it. I'm like, why am I Googling it when I've got an amazing bookshelf full of lovely books? Mm-hmm. So the book I have rediscovered are the Hemsley books, and they have got such good ideas in there and some really, really great things. And something I've been making on repeat literally like every other week is their quick doll, and it makes the most insane amount, and then I kind of portion up and freeze it, so then you have it in your freezer whenever you need it. But it's so delicious. It uses red lentils, loads of ginger, garlic, onions, coriander, turmeric, coconut milk, and it's so simple and it's just so good. Actually, Laura, I have it with salmon. It's really good with salmon.
Yum, that's delicious. So I love that you can put it in the freezer, because then I'm also a speedy thing, so if you cook it at the weekend and then you can just bring it out midweek.
Exactly, it's delicious. And actually, they recommend that you serve it with a slaw. And this slaw is like so simple. I now make it all the time. So you literally just get a cabbage, just chop it up, lemon juice, bit of olive oil, salt and pepper, and a bit of fresh coriander. And then the kind of longer you leave it, it kind of, not like marinades, but I guess it kind of pulls the liquid out of the cabbage. So it becomes a little bit more like juicy slaw. It's honestly so good. And the other recipe that I make are their healthy chicken Kievs, which again, I really recommend.
What's healthy about them?
The butter element is still there, but you cover them in ground almonds as opposed to bread.
Ooh.
Nice. I have so to say, good.
Talking about two of those things you've just said, my husband makes something quite similar, but he does it with turkey breast. He puts in the breadcrumbs, he puts bouillon, you know, like the
oh my god, I love that stuff.
And then he bakes them, so that's kind of like breaded turkey breast, and then he does it with grated carrot and cabbage, but he doesn't use mayonnaise, he uses yogurt. So I really recommend it. And
that sounds really good.
And it's healthy. It's really yummy.
I talked about this before, but I keep going back to Otto Lengi Simple. I ordered Otto Lengi flavor a few weeks ago. Like, I forgot that simple is called simple for a reason, because I forgot that like all his other recipes are actually really complicated. Like, flavor is like quite hardcore. There's not a lot in it that I feel that confident about.
And lots of ingredients,
That's it. Like, isn't it so many ingredients and it's just a bit intimidating. Simple, on the other hand, it does what it says on the tin. And last night, actually, I made the Marbella chicken. If you listen to Table Manners, they talk about a lot. It's one of Lenny's favorites. But it is basically just like a really sticky date chicken dish. It's made with dates, and it's actually date molasses, but I use pomegranate molasses and white wine and olives, and you basically just season the chicken with all of that and cook it for 50 minutes. It was literally so easy.
That sounds so good. Is it sweet though? Because I don't really know how much I like fruit in food.
It could be for you if you don't like fruit in food, because you don't have to eat the dates. They're just part and parcel of the kind of jus and you know, the bake. You could just eat the chicken, but the dates were the highlight for me. Like, baked dates. Who knew? Dates baked in wine, and oh my god, they were incredible. Like, so sticky, so indulgent. I'm literally mouth-watering actually thinking about them now. I've got some left over for lunch, which I'm very excited about. It is a bit of a one-pan dish, which, again, you did not expect from Otto Lengi, and the flavours were incredible, so I really recommend that. But the other thing that I make from this book all the time, it's such a regular because it's so easy, is the hot charred cherry tomatoes with cold yoghurt. And you basically just mix tomatoes on the vine with lots of delicious things like garlic and thyme and oregano and lemon, bake them, then stick them under the grill for like 5 minutes so they become really blistered, and then put them on top of Greek yogurt mixed with lemon and salt. All those incredible juices from the tomato make the yogurt so good. It's basically a dish that goes with absolutely everything. I had it.
I was going to say, what do you serve that with?
I had that with the Marbella chicken last night. Basically, I'll always do a kind of smorgasbord of things from the book, and basically everything kind of works together because it's all similar flavors and tastes. So I really recommend that for a really easy, quick dinner. Laura, you could do it with just some flatbreads or something for lunch as well. It's so good.
Ooh, another recipe that I've discovered, having said I wasn't going to Google recipes, I did find this on BBC Good Food, but it's called a sardinesca. And actually, Laura, it's a bit like your crab linguine, but it's with sardines, which I love oily fish. And you know, they're like the most basic, like John West sardines in a tin. And honestly, the most simple kind of pasta sauce. So you put that with loads of fresh tomatoes, tin of tomatoes, a bit of lemon juice and some olives and loads of parsley. Ooh. And then you just stir that through your pasta. And it honestly, it was a revelation. When I made it, I was like, I now know this is going to be one of my like new staples.
I get quite particular about my tomato sauce. I like to think that I've got a good recipe there.
I'll definitely add
some of those in. Always a tiny bit of sugar.
Mm.
I put chipotle in mine, a little dose of chipotle. I find that really helps, yeah.
Similarly, a
pasta dish has also become a bit of a staple for us. So Jamie Oliver has a recipe online for something called like the most elegant pasta dish ever or something. So this is like a riff on that. But we take into buying nice fresh pasta and then in a blender just taking a spinach or a Swiss chard or something like that and adding garlic, lemon, a little bit of basil, olive oil, salt and pepper, and just whizzing it all together and then chop it. And so, it's really garlicky, obviously, if you put in raw garlic. But
almost like a bit of a pesto, almost.
Like a pesto, but the base is a green as opposed to the basil, and there's no pine nuts. And so, yeah, bits and bobs. But it's so good, so easy. And you know when you're just, it feels like you're just eating, like, comforting health.
Yeah.
That sounds so good.
Yeah, it really is. Naturally, we are continuing to provide lots of fresh food inspo across Sherlux. So keep your eyes peeled for daily recipes and lots more good ideas. Okay, well, we mentioned before that obviously things are reopening again soon. We obviously found that out last week. So I want to know, have you guys booked anything? Tor, you said you're desperate for restaurants to reopen. Have you rushed to book things or not?
You know what? I tried to, but the booking systems weren't open on a couple of places I wanted to go. So I haven't yet. I'm dying to, although I'm not going to go like the day things open up. I'm going to kind of wait a few days to let it all settle down. But no, I haven't actually booked anything yet. Have you?
I booked Weston's Laundry, which is part of the Jolene Hackney and Primeur restaurant group, which is all kind of farm to table, fresh produce-y kind of vibes, mostly because I read on Instagram that they had an outdoor area and I'm just nervous that outdoor spaces are going to be an absolute premium in that month in between outdoor spaces being allowed to open and restaurants themselves being allowed to open. So I'm just booking anywhere that crops up that has an outdoor space when there are tables available, because if there's anything we learned from last time when things reopened, you have to be super organized. There's no such thing as spontaneity anymore, is there? So yeah, I booked there, which is on the list, but that's actually it. It feels a very long time away. I don't think I can book a restaurant for 3 months' time. I don't know. That just feels very too far advanced. It's very weird putting things back in the diary. I don't know if you guys have had that yet.
Yeah,
I know.
Started slowly to organise birthday things and stuff, and it's very strange putting something in my calendar.
Yeah, but I haven't booked anything. But I'm quite happy with having just people round to my garden or whatever it might be. Just seeing some different people, I think, is going to be the highlight for me.
Yeah. What about things like beauticians, hairdressers? Have you rushed to book those things yet?
I mean, I will be booking as soon as, you know, the doors open. Get me in there.
Every single thing that reopens is on a Monday and it's a bit bitchy. Like,
did you see that there's been a petition to make the Monday, the 21st of June, a bank holiday for like forevermore?
Like college.
Like Independence Day.
On the 20th, so that would work really well.
Oh my God, Laura, dream. Oh, that's so nice. You can have some extended birthday celebrations.
I know, that would work really well.
What about holidays? Have you guys been brave enough to book flights anywhere yet?
Yeah, do you know, we have. We booked before they released the dates because we just thought prices would go up and just take the risk and see what happens. Yeah, so we've booked some flights for July and for October, and let's see what happens.
Where have you booked?
We booked Croatia for July, and we're gonna hopefully rent a boat for a week, so that will hopefully be a bit corona friendly.
Yeah.
And then for October, we're looking at Cyprus, but I haven't booked the hotel.
So nice. Dream.
Oh my God, I'd love to do that in Croatia, like do all those islands.
Yeah.
I booked. Dream. Oh, amazing.
You'll just be nesting in your new house tour.
Yeah, well, that's that, you know what? That is the plan. And once we've got the outdoor space, I'm really happy just to stay there and entertain and kind of have people over for weekends and make that like mini holidays.
Well, we should say that if you are looking to book restaurants and, fingers crossed, the meals with friends from the 12th of April, then we have rounded up all the best outdoor terraces to book now. There are 21 there, so a little something for everybody. God, I'm just looking through it now. How fun. Look at those roof terraces. Oh,
no.
Yes, get me there now. Let's end with a bit of fashion. We wrote a story on what to buy from the menswear department. I don't know about you guys, but I have a husband who is borderline nasty about me borrowing his things. I mean, like, really, really precious about sharing his clothes. I get it, I do get fake tan on absolutely everything, so that's probably why. But I just want to know, do you steal things from your husbands, or do you shop from the menswear department yourselves? Laura?
Well, I'm 5'1", so it's not a natural place for me to go to, because a shirt starts to look like a dress. I love the look on other people, and I love nothing more than borrowing my husband's jumper and kind of getting cozy in it. But as for dressing it up, and like, Georgie's stolen a couple of Jonesy shirts to go on the show and things like that and makes it look amazing. You know, my husband's over 6 foot, and that doesn't really work.
Maxi dress.
Exactly. So that doesn't really work for me. But I love the look on others. And if I'm borrowing his jumper, it's more of a comfort thing and to feel cozy rather than me trying to create a stylish look.
Got you. So what about you?
Yeah, I have to say I'm kind of the same. I'm probably more likely to buy from the menswear department as I am to borrow from my other half. Like, I do love those Uniqlo t-shirts, just the really plain crew neck, and they are so good. I sometimes feel the fit is better. I've got a really long upper body compared to my legs, and I sometimes find the fit is better than the kind of standard women's t-shirt, but that's kind of it. And I know in that feature we spoke about boxers, but do you wear boxers, Charlotte?
Yes, that was going to be the thing that
I thought you might. I thought you might.
So my problem with boxers is I think it's completely unacceptable for a woman to wear a pair of boxers that has a flap. Like, that's really weird. Like, that's basically like wearing crotchless underwear to walk around in, isn't it? So but, yeah. I think if you're going to wear boxers, they have to look like shorts, personally. I don't think anyone should be borrowing their husband's boxers and walking around out and about with anything that kind of looks, yeah, like something could be poking out of it.
I'm sorry to state the obvious here, but are you wearing the boxers, like, for pyjamas, for pants, no, out the house?
No. Yeah, like shorts. There's been a bit of a trend over the last year for a kind of matching poplin look with an oversized shirt on top and then the boxer kind of look on bottom. Shorts can be quite tricky. It's actually a really flattering shorts shape. If you're, if you've got a slightly bigger bum or slightly bigger thighs, it will kind of cut you in a good way. And if you want to do shorts but you find, you know, denim particularly unflattering, or a longer short unflattering, then actually you'll probably be quite surprised by how good you look in a pair of guys' boxers, because they have that slightly more balloon skirt-like shape, I guess. And outerwear is day wear. I mean, how cool over a swimsuit with a big oversized shirt?
I was gonna say, I can see it on the beach.
Yeah.
I can see it kind of going to, like, the beach shack for lunch, walking down Oxford Street. Can't really see that.
I guess it depends how you wear it. I think if, you know, let's say you had like a navy pair or a blue stripe pair and you wore it with like a white t-shirt and a really oversized navy blazer and some flats,
yeah,
actually
true.
Really cool.
Okay.
So I think, yeah, I think it depends how you wear it, but my advice would be nothing see-through, nothing too short, and nothing with a flap.
No flaps, yeah.
Tip. No flaps, yeah. That's, if you take nothing else away from this podcast, make it that. My problem with Ben's clothes also is that Ben wears a small in men's clothes, so therefore actually you can see I'm wearing a shirt today, but this is a women's really oversized shirt, and that's how I would like my men's clothes to fit, but his don't fit like that on me. They're actually just a bit slim, so
yeah
not a great look. But my dad's wardrobe, on the other hand, there's an Aquascutum trench there that I absolutely have my eyes on one day. All right, well, for more advice on what to buy from the menswear department and our favorite picks from various men's stores right now, then do have a look at the feature on the site. I think that's just about it for today. Thanks, Laura. Thanks, Tor. If you have any feedback at all, please do email podcast@sheerlux.com. We love hearing from you. Don't forget also to rate, review, subscribe, and tell your friends. Bye-bye.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.